7:59 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Talk about him!
Lugie, it is After Hours. And this portion of After Hours is brought to you by Amazon Hub Delivery. Visit Amazon.com/hubdelivery and sponsored by your local Mazda dealer. You just heard a little bit of a snippet there, and we played the call earlier last hour that I got from Paul and Yonkers, who's a great caller. We normally talk Cats, but in that instance, we talked Mets. And Paul is one of these fellas and one of these Met fans that are still trying to get over Pete Alonso not being a Met anymore. Paul is on the line. So we're going to go. We'll see if it's round two. We'll see if it's more peaceful in terms of Cat discussion. But Paul is waiting in the wings here to discuss what happened last night. This Fan Focus is sponsored by Chef IQ, precision cooking, effortless results. ChefIQ.com. Luke Weaver made a lot of noise on social media last week when he arrived at Mets camp with a Yankee bag. Marcus Semien later showed up with a Ranger bag, which kind of debunked any sort of theory that Luke Weaver was trolling or it was a bad look or he misses the Yankees. Luke Weaver has a good sense of humor, and I think he kind of gets it, and I'm sure he was made aware of the stir it caused on social media. Well, anyway, he was down at camp today, Luke was, and a young fan, as he was signing an autograph, said, "The Mets are better than the Yankees. You made the right choice." And Luke Weaver says, "I'm going to strongly agree with you right now." So I think that was Luke's way of being like, "All right, I'm on camera here again. Let me be in the Mets camp." But yeah, that was, I don't understand why a baseball player doesn't have just a generic bag to bring. Like, we saw it with Semien with the Ranger bag. We saw it with Weaver with the Yankee bag. Like, they've been playing baseball their entire lives. They don't just have a regular, neutral bag to bring to camp. So that part I find interesting. And how come the Yankees or the Rangers don't ask for their bag back? Like, when they say, "Hey, I know they're like, these are billion-dollar organizations, but wouldn't they be like, hey, you're leaving, can we get that bag back? So we can give it to another player?" Anyway, 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We've gone through a bunch of topics in the first hour. Really, the Yankees offseason, the stuff that Aaron Judge said yesterday. Upon further review, I believe, listening to that audio, that Aaron Judge stepped in, and we'll play it throughout the night here for the audience, but Aaron Judge stepped in, went to Cashman, went to upper management, said, "Why are we doing nothing here? Look at every team around the league," or a lot of the teams around the league, I should say. "They're getting better. They're adding pieces. We didn't add pieces. We're doing nothing. So let's sign Bellinger. Let's bring back some of the players, and let's do more." And then all of a sudden, the Yankees, the way I see the timetable working is, Judge said this around, you know, mid-December, and then all of a sudden, Yankees reach out to Bellinger. They get the deal done. It took about a month or so. They brought back all these other players from the team last year, but they've added nothing in terms of substantial talent to this roster. And I think Judge is frustrated because he is in the prime of his career, but he's not going to be in his prime forever. He knows the clock is ticking, as it does for all athletes. And his legacy is going to be judged based on the amount of championships he wins, as great as he is. And he could go down as the best player to ever play for the Yankees. It doesn't matter how many homers you hit and how many MVPs you win. If you don't win a title with this team specifically, in this franchise specifically, your legacy in many ways is tarnished. And you will forever be compared to the Jeters and the Ruths and the Gehrigs and the DiMaggios and the Mantles. Even A-Rod. It's like, A-Rod won a championship. You couldn't even win one. Not to say that's anything against A-Rod. My point is, at least got to get one. Get one, you're good. There'll even be some that say that wasn't enough, but at least you can hang on to that one, and you can kind of... And it's not an injury situation where the Yankees were bad, like a Mattingly type of deal. I'm also having... Not travel issues, but I got to get back from L.A. Sunday into Monday, and there's some bad weather in the forecast, and I got to be on the radio Monday night at 7 p.m. Dinner with myself, I can't cancel again. So I got to figure out a way to, I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, if it's snowing, I'm going to be at the mercy, I suppose, of air traffic, you know? 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Jamie in Yonkers. What's up, Jamie?
Hey, Tommy. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
On the Luke Weaver bag situation, the Yankees are really cheap now. They probably did want that bag back.
Yeah, I get it. But what about why the Rangers not take their bag back from Simeon? It was just it's bizarre to me that these players are showing up.
Do you honestly think that they give used bags to players?
Of course not. But what I'm saying is, why doesn't the player have a bag of his own that he has used throughout his life? Meaning, let's say the Yankees or Rangers did say to Simeon and Weaver, hey, we need that bag back. What are they showing up to camp with? No bag?
Yeah, man, I don't know. But I am a Met fan, and a while back you were talking about potential cat names.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get through. My cats are named Mookie and Lenny.
Very nice. Yeah, I was trepidatious, Jamie, about naming the cat anything related to the teams I root for. Plus, it was my wife's, you know, sort of deal. You know what I mean? Like, I could give suggestions, but ultimately it was going to be, you know, her decision.
And this is and by the way, we have five different kinds of Caesar salad dressing in our refrigerator. And get this, seven different kinds of mustard.
Well, let me ask you this, though. What Jamie's referring to is my wife has just this obsession with condiments and dressings to the point where I open up our fridge, and it is literally, no joke, filled to the gills with stuff. There's no square to spare. I cannot put anything in our fridge at any point. Every time I open, I'm anticipating something falling out and breaking. Now, you're telling me you have the same situation where she has like 25 hot sauces, 65 Caesar salad dressings types, and you got the same deal going on at your house?
Other than eggs and milk, and maybe leftover dinner from the night before, there's no room in there for actual sustenance food.
Amazing. Yeah, I've mentioned it. We've actually had some apartments where the fridges have been small. And we've had some apartments where the fridges have been big. It doesn't matter how small or how big the fridge is. My wife finds a way to stuff it to the point where nothing else can get in there. Let me ask you a question here. You said you had two cats.
Yes.
Why did you get a second cat?
Oh, they were brothers. We adopted them at the same time.
If you had now as a cat owner,
they were strays.
Okay.
The mother cat, the pregnant cat, holed up. Fortunately, under like the deck of a vet. So the vet took the cat in and had a litter of kittens, and we talked to two of them. And really, I mean, I'm not anymore, but I used to be gone for work all day, long hours, and, you know, I figured it'd be nice if they had a companion, you know?
Yeah, so that's what I was getting at there, the companion part, because we've had our cat for 2 weeks, something like that. 3 weeks, two, 3 weeks. And if you're a loyal listener to After Hours, you know that I've ranted on this. I have pushed back on the pet stuff for years, and I finally caved. And we got a cat, an expensive cat, and he's great. He's my special boy. I'm not saying anything against him. But for the first time, either yesterday or today, even though my wife said, we're getting the cat, that's going to be the only expense. Meanwhile, since we've gotten the cat, every other day there's a new toy for the cat. My apartment has now filled with cat toys. They're everywhere. He has taken over the apartment. And he's got his little fun stuff that he runs around, and he's just being a cat. He's happy to be a cat. And my wife, for the first time, hit me with, maybe we should get him a companion, another cat. Hold on a second. Back that one right up. We're not getting another cat. You told me this was it. We need a cat. And now you need the cat to have a cat so the cat has something to do all day? We got him enough toys. He sleeps on the bed with us. We've provided an oasis for him. And now we need a cat to go along with this cat? No. And this is where you end up with six cats. And I could tell, because I know how she is. And I love her to death. Let me make that clear. So there's people in the audience that don't think I do, but I do. A lot of things look better, maybe even me too, if you asked her, he gave her truth serum. A lot of things from my wife look better on paper than they do in actuality. So I'm wondering 3 weeks in if she's saying this cat sometimes is annoying and I want to get it another cat so it doesn't annoy me. Well, tough, you know what? You wanted the cat.
You don't want the cat to develop, you know,
It's a cat. It's not going to develop anything. I'm sorry for screaming. I'm just in that mood tonight. I shouldn't be screaming. The internet will be, you know, it'll be the hot fire. This guy, he sucks. Stop yelling. But I'm just in one of those.
I saw that today, too.
What? You saw what, Paul?
The screaming situation.
Well, I was screaming at Paul and Yonkers, who we have on the line here.
I know. Some people weren't happy with that.
Well, okay, but this is what I would say. And this is the best way I would describe it. Go listen to radio in Paducah then. Because this is New York, and where I'm from, we yell and scream at it. It's in Kentucky, I think. We yell and scream at each other. That's what my family does. My late grandmother used to say all the time, "Who's yelling? We're talking." That's my way of communicating. If you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. I don't yell nearly as much as people say I yell. I mean, at times I raise my voice. But I think it's necessary. You have to put yourself in my shoes. We get the cat. We spend all this money. We're spending all this money on the cat. 2 weeks in, she starts telling me that we should get another cat so the cat has a companion. And then this fella behind the glass, I didn't want to call you an idiot, this buffoon back there, Rosenberg, says the cat is going to develop, and I had to cut him off because I don't want to hear that the cat is going to develop something. It's a cat, all right?
Loneliness.
It's not going to be lonely.
By the way, props to you. Paducah is in Kentucky.
Okay.
And Paducah is also home to the National Quilt Museum. Quilt.
Let's go to Mario in Long Beach. It's after hours with Positive Tommy. Mario, what's going on?
Tommy, what's happening, my man?
Well, you know, a couple things are driving me crazy, but
it's funny you're saying that because I've had a lot of cats. At one point, I had 10, right?
But Mario, I can't
Let me finish real quick.
Before I'll tee you up for it because perhaps you had a different sort of lifestyle in terms of hours or whatever. I have a hard enough time getting from point A to point B. Like I have to use every ounce just to get to live my life and have the career that I'm trying to have. Mario, I can't have 10 cats right now. I just can't.
No. I'm just making a point. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
So now I downside. I have two, and they're brothers and sisters. I'll tell you, a second one really helps because what it does is not only companionship, it's exercise. They wrestle with each other, they fight with each other, they box, they will. Maybe you're. I can understand why you're apprehensive now. But it might not be a bad thing.
It's
I don't know if
so
you need
much,
to get the same breed. You know
what it is, Mario? It's not so much the idea that I have the issue with. It's the cost.
Yeah, I understand.
You know what I mean? Like, let me remind the audience, I worked in radio for the last 20 years. So the cost. It needs a companion. It runs around my apartment all day and night. It's not getting enough exercise. Now it needs a friend. And enough with the cats are brother and sister. The cats, I'm sorry to break it to everybody, they don't know that they're brother and sister. They have absolutely no idea. If you took out their sister and put it to in a new home and you gave another cat in the room and said, this is your new sister, they would have zero recollection of the other sister and they would think this is their new sister. Can we stop with this stuff where cats think that they have members of their family are part of the cat that they're dealing with? If that makes any sense?
Do you think a cat knows that it's a cat?
Yeah. Because
like we know we're here.
Yeah, because when dogs see other dogs, they react in a certain kind of way where they realize, hey, that dog is like me, where they react differently when they see a human. So I think there's enough in their brain to understand that there is a difference between them and us. Yeah, I don't know if they know they are a cat, so to speak, but they know that they are a different species than us. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. We will get to Paul and Yonkers in just 1 second. Round two from our battle that we had yesterday. Let's go to, the guy, we lost him. There was a guy that was going to tell me how to get home from, if you're still listening, I apologize. If you could call me back, he was going to give me strategy for how I'm going to get back from Los Angeles this weekend with the snowstorm on Sunday. Let's go to Zach in Hawthorne. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, Tommy? Hey. You say that you have so much food in your fridge and it's overbearing.
It is.
I was wondering if maybe some of that food could go to Paulie since he's doing such a good job.
What do you mean?
Producing. And maybe you could share.
What do you mean?
Whatever you.
You want me to feed him every night? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, it would solve the issue of the overstocked fridge. And he deserves it. He's trying to help you out by helping you get home, and he's looking at the European forecast because it's more accurate.
He got an $8 loopy last night, which, believe it or not, was not nefarious. It actually was a legitimate up, and we don't want to say on the air what it is because it is actually brilliant. But yeah, I can't even describe it on the air. But let's put it this way: it added time to the commute, the loopy. But I don't think, Zach, the best way I could describe the food in the fridge is it's elements of food more than it is actual food. It's condiments.
More.
It's half-eaten food that my wife doesn't want to throw out. It's something that she's going to make in, like, you know, 3 months from now on a rainy day. So it's not like I could bring him in a cup of barbecue sauce and feed him. So it's not like we necessarily have leftovers per se.
Okay.
It's more about just having a bunch of food. And quite frankly, Zach, Rosenberg is a 40-year-old man. And I know for a fact he didn't even buy his own dinner tonight. So he's got a sugar daddy already. And he was supposed to talk to that sugar daddy for me today, and he forgot. I don't think I need to bring him in food. I don't. I mean, well, this is what I will do, Zach. This I promise I will do. If your girlfriend's listening, tell her to cover her ears. No, I'm slightly kidding on that part. But there's a spot across the street here that is, yeah. Oh, yeah. Looks fun. Good clientele. I'm thinking that could be like the end of the year dinner, me, you, Connor, and Fleeks. I'm going to pick the night. I don't want to hear any static that it doesn't work. We are not going to act like we are, you know, 17 girls planning out a bachelorette party. I don't want to hear it. If it doesn't work for you, make it work for you. So, because I know everybody's got different schedules and they live in different corners of the world here. We will pick one night at the end of the year. We'll go to this spot that's across the street here, which, dude, even the other week, it was like I had to stop in my tracks when I saw a couple of the girls that were walking in the spot.
No,
but we're not going for that. Obviously, it's
we're
just
doing
part
for dinner,
of it.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just saying things, but it's true. But I'm just talking more about, like, it seems like it's a cool spot.
On the subject of dinner, what'd you have tonight?
I didn't eat dinner yet.
You didn't eat dinner?
No, I had a late lunch, which was,
what'd you have for lunch?
Noodles and meat and a broth that was spicy, quite enjoyable. I didn't go, my wife goes
so
too heavy
soup?
With the broth. Well, I wouldn't call it a soup. I would call it more of like a broth with noodles and meat.
I think by definition, as we went over last night, that would be considered a soup.
No, because I had to use a fork. So I used a fork and a spoon. If I feel like I have to go use both, it's not. A soup to me is only a spoon. If you have to bust out the fork, it is no longer a soup. I think it's more of like a stew is the way I would describe that. A little bit more hearty. That was the word I was looking for. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Coming up, I have a trade proposal for the Giants. That's going to seem crazy, but hear me out on it. Plus, Breece Hall, is he coming back to the Jets? 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Luke in Farmingdale. What's up, Luke?
Hey, Lugie!
What's
up, buddy?
How are you? What's going on?
How you doing, bro? I turned it on, just getting in the car, daughter's got strep throat, had to run out to CVS, and I heard you talking about Mr. Aaron Judge, the greatest living Yankee right now. And I was actually very hard on Judge for a long time, but, you know, I really think he's getting a raw deal. And you know, the reason I called is because he gave the pass to Mattingly. But, I mean, you know, the Yankees in the 80s won more games than any other team. They just never quite got over the hump because of the way the playoffs were. They would have been in the playoffs if the playoffs were
the new format. That's very fair.
You know what I mean? And Judge, you know, Mattingly can't even make it into the Hall of Fame. I mean, Judge, barring catastrophe, is the first, you know, he's going to go in on roller skates, you know?
Yeah. Oh, we did. Well, that was a fan trope. The fact that we both thought of that means that's a sports talk radio trope. We got to come up with a new one there. I'll get on that, Luke. We'll come up with a new way to say a guy is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Because would we say roller skates? That's got to be something that's been said forever. I'll work on that. Don't worry.
All right. Francesa podcast. You know, I heard him say
that.
Yeah,
we'll come up with a new one so we can freshen it up.
One more thing. You're a wrestling guy, right?
Oh, yeah. Love wrestling. Yep.
How come it's not as good as it was a year ago, though, dude? I mean, I'm not that excited for this season. What do you think the issue is?
Well, we don't know the Mania card. I assume you're talking about WWE, right? We don't even know the...
Yes, but...
I jumped to there. We disagree on AEW, but that part. But I'm a huge fan of wrestling, so I like all companies. But if you're talking WWE, I mean, we just don't know the Mania card yet. I mean, Roman and Punk, outside of that, it just feels like, okay. Even last year, they had a very unique situation a couple of years ago with the rematch of Cody finishing his story against Roman, and that obviously was one of the best Mania main events of all time and just a terrific story. It's hard to recreate that every year, but like Roman and Punk will be awesome, of course. And I know AEW, they kind of have that little bit of a no pay-per-views in the first couple of months, and they have like Revolution in March. So it's a little bit of a slower build, but we just found out it'll be MJF and Hangman at the pay-per-view. Wrestling always has its peaks and valleys. That's probably the best way I would describe it. There are times where I'm into it more than others, but I could always carpentalize. I could always carpentalize wrestling, where if I see a great match or it's a great show, or I can see that in its bubble, and I don't have to look at the overall, like, oh, this year wasn't great. If like one match or one show was great, that's enough to keep me satisfied for a little bit.
Compartmentalizing.
888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. All right, we've teased it enough. Let's go to Paul in Yonkers. If you missed it last night, Paul and I got into it, and I got a little out of order myself, but I think it was necessary because I think Paul represents a portion of the fan base that is not over Pete Alonso. But Paul, how are you doing?
Hey, Tommy. I'm not going to rile you up. I don't want to battle. Okay? Let's stay calm.
We're calm.
And this is what I want to say.
Go ahead.
During the summer, we heard rumors that Cohen had a $500 million contract for Guerrero of the Blue Jays.
Mm-hmm.
I was okay with that, replacing Alonso with Guerrero.
Okay.
But once he re-signed with the Blue Jays,
right,
the only move that Cohen had was cut the check in half and give it to Alonso. 4 years, 5 years, $250 million.
Yeah.
It wasn't difficult.
But they didn't want to do that.
And he didn't. Right. And that's why I'm upset. Because they didn't even do that. I heard Alonso's defense. He's terrible defense. Well, who did you bring in? The guy that's playing first, never played first base. That's who you replace Alonso with. That's why I'm on the warpath. If you would replace Alonso with something that made sense, I'm not on the phone going wild. And that's why I'm upset.
But, Paul, that was their decision. And I understand that you don't view the quote-unquote replacement. And I don't think you should view, this is just me personally, I don't think you should view Bo Bichette as the replacement for Pete Alonso. I think you have to look at it collectively, you know, sort of 3 through 9. And putting together a lineup that the Mets believe is going to be more clutch, more gamers, and they are going to be a team that produces more runs and is a team that hits in the big moments better than they did last year or previous years in their mind.
Could I bring this up?
Yes, of course.
The visiting team comes in.
Okay.
Comes into the city. Oh, yeah. 3-1 home. If Soto ain't getting pitched to, out of the 8 other batters, who's hitting a 3-run homer?
Yeah, but I wouldn't get hung up. I wouldn't get hung up on the 3-run homer. But Bichette can hit home runs. Vientos can hit home runs. Alvarez can hit home runs. Luis Robert Jr. can hit home runs. You don't have to have 140 a guy that hits 40 home runs or 50 home runs. If you have a bunch of guys that hit 25, it still equals the same amount of home runs. If actually, it would be more in that sense. The guys having multiple guys that could hit 25 home runs. And I think you need to give guys more of a chance that are younger players. I know you, the Carson Benjes of the world, all right, you haven't seen them. But Vientos and Beatty and Alvarez.
Don't you think they had enough of a shot? Viento, Beatty's, don't you? This is their third year of not making it.
I think Beatty played for three years. Okay, but Beatty, I thought, came around in the second half last year. Oh. Mark Vientos was one of their best hitters in that run to the NLCS in 2024. Okay.
Yes, and he
didn't have the year we all thought he was going to have last year, but I'm not ready to give up on him. I saw his promise in, on full blast, and I liked what I saw. So I'm not ready to give up on Vientos whatsoever. And then I would say, and they have Lindor, and you're acting like Soto is never going to see a pitch to hit. Juan Soto is the most patient hitter in baseball. He's not going to stretch the zone. He's going to take his walks. He might have an uptick in walks this year. Great. You know what? Bo Bichette is one of the most clutch hitters in baseball. I want guys on in front of Bichette because I know he can deliver and knock them in.
I had two power hitters last year, and we didn't make the playoffs. Now we're down to one power hitter.
Yeah, but you just said, so then maybe that's not the direction to go, the power hitter.
Right.
Right. Well,
no, it is. You just said you had two and you didn't make the playoffs.
How would you have built the team around them?
I would have got rid of the minor leaguers. I would have upgraded.
Yeah, but Paul,
position.
And this is where I blew a gasket last night. Every great player in baseball, I did say Ohtani, obviously he wasn't in the minor leagues, but outside of that, all the great players came from the minor leagues. So if you had that stance, Aaron Judge would have never blossomed into what he is. Bryce Harper would have never blossomed into what he is.
No.
Juan Soto would have never blossomed into what he is. Because in your mind, they're minor leaguers and they shouldn't get an opportunity.
You could give them a shot. We're talking about too many years with them.
Paul, Pete Alonso was a minor leaguer, and then he was given the opportunity.
Right. Yeah, we gave these guys 3 years. They should have been traded in deals.
But they brought in Polanco. They brought in Simeon. Oh. They brought in Bichette. They brought in Luis Robert Jr. They brought in Peralta. They brought in a lot of guys that aren't, quote-unquote,
minor leaguers.
Okay, so you are cherry-picking a couple of guys that are either going to be not regular everyday players, we'll see how it all shapes up, to strengthen your argument.
Okay, now let's go one thing.
Yeah.
With your cat?
No, I can't
do this. Before I go? Tonight.
Paul, we just had a very peaceful conversation. I'm sure, we broke bread here. We had a much calmer phone call. I've already been yelling and screaming for the last hour plus about my flight and my cat and Yankee fans.
But Paul, you know it's a sensitive subject right now.
And you're going to start pushing buttons with my kitty cat.
No, I don't want to get another cat. I swear I'm not doing that. I just want to tell you, I have one cat in the house. It's fun that he owns the house. I would never bring another cat. The cat knows that this is his home.
Right.
He roams. He goes where. If you start bringing another cat and another cat, then they're going to fight over food.
They're going to compete
fight
over
stuff.
You know what, Paul? Yeah. You're making a lot of sense tonight.
It's nice to have one cat. Explain it to your wife. Let's keep it at one. The older the cat gets, the more it's going to enjoy the house. And you're going to enjoy the cat. You could concentrate on one cat.
I'm enjoying the cat, but I just know that she's wired, and I can just see where the wheels are spinning. And she's going to want to get it. She's very solution-oriented. And I think in her mind, she's going, all right, the cat's meowing a little bit. But I don't know if I should just say everything, but she's worried about the cat getting fat. So she's trying to limit his meals, but it's like, well, he's meowing because he's hungry. So we're in this predicament where my wife wants the cat to stay very small and tiny, and you go talk to her. That's all I could say. I mean, I can't wait to get to work sometimes. You know what I mean?
He's got to get fed.
He does. I don't want to make
it
like we're
kitten.
Not. We feed him all the time. He has his meal. He has his dry food. He eats. But, you know, you could tell sometimes when he's meowing, he either wants the attention or he wants the food. And my wife is afraid of fattening him up.
He's not going to go up to Garfield here.
But I mean, you can. But there are certain people that I'm sure overfeed their animals and they get fat. You know what I mean? And she's afraid.
At this early stage of.
I know. She's just very worried. That was the whole reason to get the teacup cat. She just wants the cat to be very small, very cuddly. It's like I'm having a conversation with her right now, so I'm going to try to remain calm. But you can't have it's not AI. It's like you can't have the perfect situation. The cat's going to meow. The cat's going to want to eat. The cat's going to run around. The cat's going to do this. You have to adjust to that. And then you're going to get on me. I didn't want the damn thing to begin with.
Question.
Yeah.
What's the situation with the cat for the vacation?
Somebody is going to stay over and watch the cat.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't want to bring the cat because it's just too much going on, and it's there. He's still getting used to our apartment, so I didn't want to him
you
to travel.
Bring the cat to Beverly.
Yeah.
You know what you might need, though, with that?
Yeah.
An Instagram account for the cat.
She said that already.
There you go.
I got enough going on. I got enough going on with everything in my life. 888-808-1. I need a freaking Instagram account for my cat. Get lost. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Taylor in Fairfield, Connecticut. What's up, Taylor?
How's it going, Tommy?
Hey, what's happening?
First time caller.
Appreciate it.
I'm a big Mets fan, but these Mets fans got to get over Pete Alonso.
Yes.
They got to get over it. This team is way better, more deeper, all around way better than last year.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And I think that it took a lot of guts for David Stearns and Steve Cohen to co-sign it to make the kind of moves that were going to be unpopular, whether it was Nimmo, whether it was Alonso. And it was with a goal in mind and to reshape this team and break up the core. And I think they should be applauded for having the guts to do that. Now, we're going to see, obviously, if it doesn't work out, then the detractors are going to be even stronger in their critiques of the administration. But David Stearns has a track record. The Milwaukee Brewers have been a really good baseball team for a very long time. They haven't reached their ultimate goal, neither have the Mets, but David Stearns built a sustained winner in Milwaukee. So he's not just some guy they found and had no track record and this is his first rodeo. He knows what he's doing, and Steve Cohen has the bank account to match whatever other team throws something his way. And Steve Cohen is, and he said it yesterday, look, the Dodgers like to spend money, so do I. So I have full confidence, Taylor, in this marriage and pairing of Stearns and Cohen.
I do too. One thing, though, I love Stearns, but the worst move in Major League history was signing Frankie Montas for 2 years, $35 million. That was a $35 million donation.
He's got to own that
one. I just had to get it.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand the frustrations around Montas. What I will do is I try to throw the positive Tommy spin on that. I do like the idea of the short-term contracts with pitchers. Now, there are exceptions. Yamamoto is an exception. If Peralta is awesome again, he would be in an exception because you're talking about upper 20s, prime of his career. Skubal is an exception. Skeens is an exception. Those type of pitchers I would give long-term contracts to. But everybody that was screaming for Corbin Burns a couple years ago, he got hurt right away and had to get the TJ, had to get the Tommy John. Starting pitchers get hurt. It's unfortunately part of the deal. So when you lock them in, like I didn't like the Dylan Cease contract that the Blue Jays gave out. I didn't like the Max Fried contract that the Yankees gave out in terms of years. It's just way too many. Like you have to have immediate return, like big return for those contracts to be worth it because at the back end, they are not going to be good. Let's go to John in Babylon. What's up, John? It's After Hours with Positive hey. Tommy here in primetime. What's going on, John?
Tommy, what's going on?
What's
good
up?
Show as always. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I have one cat, me and my wife, and the reason why I got a cat and I got one cat is because they're perfectly fine by themselves.
Thank you.
You don't need somebody to cat
that's
watch
what I
anybody.
Thought, that's what I,
you need to go. You need to go. Let him feed. Make sure it's you know doing his business, and that's it.
Right.
And now as far as I just wanted to touch base on the you said that I had noodles,
yes,
meat, and some broth.
That's exactly what I had for
not,
lunch. Yeah.
Okay. And you're not calling that a soup?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Now, do you know how to use chopsticks?
No, I don't. Anytime my wife and okay, I go out to get a sushi, what I do is I rip them apart, and then I just stab the sushi with it, and I kind of pick it up like a skewer, I guess, and I just eat it. And I always feel like lesser than, you know what I mean? Because everybody at the restaurant knows how to use it. And I've tried to figure it out. I just, whatever, the motor skills aren't working with that. But I always feel like lesser than. And John, what I'll do is I try to like mask the fact that I don't know how to use it. and it just gets, you know, exploited when I'm there because I'll drop something or whatever. And it's quite embarrassing, but no, I do not know how to use chopsticks.
So how do you attack like a ramen or a pho? You attack it with a fork?
Believe it or not, John, even though I went away to college, I've never been a big ramen guy. I might have had ramen noodles once in my life. It's just not something that I've ever eaten. Like maybe once. And again, right. This is years at college, which is it's a go-to in college. So I can't even answer that question. And then the second food you mentioned, I've never even heard of.
Okay, that's a Vietnamese soup.
Okay.
With meat and broth.
Yeah, it's possible I've had it.
I guess technically, if you were gonna attack it with a fork, we wouldn't be calling it a soup.
But I attacked it with both. So what I did today is
okay,
I went.
So
I went,
you use the chopsticks as you fake with the chopsticks, but you really attack with a fork if you were gonna go after a ramen or a pho.
Yeah, I guess that's yeah exactly.
Gotcha.
So I used the noodles and the meats, and I appreciate the call. The meat and the noodles, I used the fork, and then when it got to the broth, I used the spoon. That's how I attacked it. But again, I don't know how to use chopsticks, and I wasn't really given directions on how to eat the soup. So in that sense, I am in many ways like a caveman, and I just need to get it down the gullet, down the stomach, the stomach, so that I'm good to go for after hours. I haven't even eaten dinner yet, but I brought a wrap in, like a lunch, because I ate. The lunch was really supposed to be dinner, but it was so intricate. Like there were multiple steps that I had to do, and I didn't think I could perform that here at work, especially when I'm on the air, no break, in terms of like there wasn't a game on or anything like that. So what I did was I flipped my lunch and dinner, and now lunch will be my dinner tonight. So it's just the run-of-the-mill wrap.
What kind of wrap?
I don't know.
Run-of-the-mill wrap doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's just like your regular
chicken,
garden variety
turkey,
wrap.
Lettuce, tomato.
Did you talk to Summers today?
I spoke to him, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to him a lot.
Did you record the podcast with him?
We did record the podcast. That's me here, you there.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Every week.
Uh-huh.
Starring Steve Summers and yours truly.
Did we have a conversation last night about you bringing something up to Steve?
We did.
Mm-hmm. Did I ask you to execute that for me today so that I could talk about it on the air?
Absolutely.
Okay. Did you talk to him?
You did not remind me like you said you
would. I'm not here to remind you.
You
I'm not here
you
to remind you.
Remind me,
I'm not here to remind
me.
You. I'm not here to remind you.
I have other things going on.
I don't care if
I'm
you have other things going on. You're an adult.
I'm
put
Steve.
It in your notes. You're the producer of this radio show. You're the producer of Me Here, You There. That's fine. You are spread thin. I respect that. But you have to put it in your phone or get a post-it note, and you have to remember these sort of things. And by the way, this is not the first time I've asked you to do this.
This is
about a month that I've been wanting you to ask Steve about Studio 54. Because apparently, he asked Boomer if he could help, this is back in the day, obviously, if he could help him get into Studio 54, which if you're not familiar with it, Studio 54 was a legendary nightclub here in New York City, disco. And I wanted to hear about that story. And you failed because you forgot to ask him. And now you got to wait a week. Who knows if I'll even be back from Beverly Hills by then because my flight could get delayed. And now we're 2 weeks where we don't know this story.
No, I can see if Steve is around.
We're not going to bother Steve.
I
don't want to bother Steve.
I can
Steve.
Do that.
I don't want to bother
Steve.
Steve
is my friend.
Okay, that's fine.
My friend, WFN legend, Steve Summers. I'm sure he would have no issue.
He's your sugar daddy. I don't want to bother him. And all I wanted was for you to talk to him about it. Speaking of.
And I'm sure the callers, if you want to call in 888-808-1019.
Again, you don't have authority to do this. But what you do have is the authority to pick up the phone. Hopefully, this was a month ago, and I forgot to follow up on this. That's on me. See, something's on Rosenberg. This one is on me. About a month ago, right before my show ended, I threw out there that I wanted to hear from somebody that got inside the walls of the legendary Studio 54. Nightclub, back in the day, disco here in New York City. I remember I did a show with Beningo once. I asked him if he went into Studio 54. Bro, you kidding? I wished, bro. No, I didn't. But he went to disco clubs in Sea Caucus or wherever. And I threw it out on the air. Hey, if you've ever been, you know, call me up. Well, as it often happens here on After Hours, you know, a couple things got in the way. We got a little bit of sidetracked. And I did take a call at the very end of the show. But unfortunately, before we could get to any kind of good stuff, we hit the back time, which is the song you hear at the end, and meaning the show had to wrap up. So it was a cliffhanger. So for a month, everybody's been hanging off the cliff here. So the setup is, I believe her name was Rachel. And she was calling me from Indiana. The Rachel part I don't remember, but Indiana. So if you're listening to me right now, Indiana, and you're in Indiana, and your name is Rachel, and you are a former model, because she was, and she has been inside Studio 54 a bunch. That's all we got, and then we had to cut it off. I mean, come on. And the fact that I haven't followed up on this is my mistake. So we're going to keep looking for her. Rachel in Indiana, if you're listening to me, or anybody knows Rachel in Indiana, please have her call. 888-808-1019. You are a model. You are at Studio 54. I always wish the walls could talk. Maybe they are, or maybe they can if you call us. Horrible English there. Sorry. Sometimes I'm a little stunned, a little rough around the edges. That's okay. Doing live radio here. Sometimes the English not so great. But what is great is hearing from Rachel in Indiana about Studio 54. And I'll tell you what else is great. I have this trade idea coming up next for the Giants. And I won't say the team, but it's going to be crazy. Just brace yourself. But I think it could work. And it's one of those, who says no? Plus, if you are a Met fan and you're not over the Pete Alonso situation, call me up. We're going to try to talk you off that sports ledge. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Checking my notes here. What else do we got? Oh, the Olympics have run out of condoms. That's a tough situation. We'll talk about that. Mark Cuban says the NBA should embrace tanking. That's another topic we will discuss. And I got you till midnight. So plenty of time. Keep it locked here. After Hours, the premier home for breaking news. Hopefully we will speak to the former model in Indiana that went to Studio 54. And we'll discuss all the topics that make this show what it is. 888-808-1019. It's After Hours. Tommy Lugauer, Positive Tommy here in primetime. 8:47 here on The Fan in New York City. Tommy Lugauer.
Usurp.
Lugie. It is After Hours. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Coming up in the next 10 minutes. And you need to brace yourself, my fellow Giant fans. I have come up with a trade proposal for the Giants that's going to seem a little crazy. And it's going to seem a little, this will never happen, and it's very outlandish. But just keep an open mind when I bring this up in the next 10 minutes. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. Let's go to Jason. He wants to talk about Steve Cohen, a guy that I said yesterday is the best owner in all of baseball. Let's go to Hampton, New Jersey. Jason is on the fan. What's up, Jay?
T. Lugie the Master. How are you, my friend?
What's going on, dude?
All right. Here we go. Since you brought up the Studio 54, I'm going to go there. Steve Cohen is a modern-day Steve Rubell who ran the Studio 54. And yes, I'm going to tell you why. Here we go. The Seaver statue. The retirements. The bringing in the A-list celebrities. That would be Mr. Soto, Mr. Lindor. Mm-hmm. And the Cadillac Club. How can it get better than the Cadillac Club? That is like a Studio 54 for sports fans.
Well, how about Metropolitan Park? You know, as a Walt Disney doing his Florida project around Citi Field, we'll actually have something to do after a Met game instead of if we need an oil change, they got that there, or a soft pretzel or a cup of water. But now we're actually going to be able to have some fun before and after Met games. I love it.
I will be playing blackjack right next to you, my friend. And, you know, I love your show. Thanks. And I just want to say this. Mets fans, you need to be excited this year. You need to be. I'm going down the roster, like every position, everyone they're bringing in. We have players, and not only do we have players, we have multiple players in every position. It's going to be an exciting year. So I'm really looking forward to it, but I don't think Cohen gets enough credit. And I mean, he is a great owner, and I'm glad you identify that, you know, and he is amazing. And, you know, this is everything I expect, you know, from a Mets owner. And we hadn't had it in the past. We have it now. So let's roll with it, man. Let's get behind Steve Cohen and make this a great year.
No, I love it. I love the enthusiasm, Jason. And one of the biggest reasons why I said this yesterday, that Steve Cohen is the best owner in baseball, is because he will get in front of a microphone and say that he's annoyed with the team losing. And he doesn't back down from the Dodgers. He's not talking about a salary cap. He's saying they love to spend money. So do I. He's not hiding in fear from the Los Angeles Dodgers because the Los Angeles Dodgers are not going anywhere. And in order to compete in baseball, you have to look at who's on the mountaintop and how you're going to be able to knock them off. And you heard Manny Machado a couple of days ago say and this is a guy that's in the division with the Dodgers. He loves what LA is doing. And he said anybody would if they were rooting for that team. Meaning, if you're rooting for, it's whether it's Red Sox, whether it's the Yankees, whether it's the Mets, whether it's the Padres in that case, Orioles, you name your team, Phillies, you would want your owner to be like the ownership group with the Dodgers and spend and never be complacent or overly confident that your team is as great as it's been. You signed Diaz. You signed Tucker. You know they're going to be in on Scooble. They're going to be in on all the big-time free agents because that's what they do. And any ownership that has that type of firepower should put that into resources to sign free agents. Think about that for any that doesn't have a salary cap league. So baseball being probably the best example. Any baseball fan out there, even if you're not a Met or Yankee fan, you would want your team to act like this and your ownership to act like this. And Steve Cohen acts like that. And even though the Mets haven't reached their ultimate goal under Steve Cohen's ownership, it took the Dodgers time to do it as well. So not everything is overnight. And the things that he's implemented at Citi Field, not everybody loves every little thing that he's done. And there are going to be people that don't like Metropolitan Park, whether it's an issue for parking or whatever the case may be. There will be people that are going to be detractors from that. I, for one, have always wanted an atmosphere outside of Citi Field that was similar to what the Yankees have. Now, this might be a little bit different because it's a casino. I don't know the entire layout of what bars and restaurants will be included in this, but I have to imagine it's going to be more exciting than what is currently available when you leave a Met game or when you get to a Met game early. If you're unfamiliar with what goes on at Yankee Stadium, which I'd imagine most of you know what I'm talking about because you're either a Yankee fan or you're a Met fan that goes there for Subway Series games, whether it's Stan's, whether it's Billy's, that stretch of bars. And look, if you're too old, you want to do these things, and I'm speaking to a generation that doesn't care and they more care about the parking, what can I tell you? But as far as we'll call it the younger generation and then the younger generations to come that want to have a good time before and after the game, Yankee Stadium is the place to be. You hear all the time about Wrigleyville outside of Wrigley Field, which that's probably where they came up with the name. And I've never been there. I would love to go. But I hear it's amazing. It's a lot of fun. That's what baseball is. It's summer. It's warm weather. It's great music. It's Mark Morrison, Return of the Mac, my favorite song of all time. It's having a couple of cold ones with your buddies, checking out the scenery. There's dancing in the street, literally, outside of Yankee Stadium at these bars. It's fun. It's cool. And I've always said this, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe I can't prove it, but I think it's a good recruitment tool for those because some people are born into the fandom. Hey, my dad was a Yankee fan, now I'm a Yankee fan. Or my father was a Met fan, my mother was a Met fan, so I'm going to be a Met fan. But there are probably, just like in this country, there are swing states. There could be some swing fans that are like, I'm not really sure which team I want to root for. But I'm going to the Yankee game with a couple of my bros. We're going to check out Stan's and Billy's, 3 hours before the game. And they get one whiff of that place and they're like, sign me up. And the experience at Citi Field just doesn't compete as far as outside of it. And that could help sway people in their fandom because it becomes this great immersive experience to enjoy. I mean, the Yankees have it down to a science. It's amazing. And the Mets are trying to catch up to them. So I'm all in favor of it. I've been in favor of it for years. Even if when it's finally built, I'm past my prime. Doesn't matter because there are going to be how many other Tommy Lugauers coming their way that want to go out and do something on a Saturday night after a 2-hour Met game. Instead of jamming into the subways, we couldn't even get within 30 feet of people, 5 years ago. Now we could just be sardines again in the subway after a Met game. And that fiasco. You could avoid that have a little fun, and then take the train home when it's quieted down. 888-808-1019. To me, it's a win for everybody. Let's go to... Let's take Scott here. Now, the setup here is, for lunch today, I had noodles, some meat in there, a little broth, and I used a fork and a spoon. And we took another caller that said, hey, when you go out, you know, sushi or whatever, do you use chopsticks? And I said, well, to be honest with you, I don't know how to use chopsticks. I've tried. I can't figure it out. So what I'll do is I'll kind of break the chopstick and I'll kind of, you know, I guess for lack of a better word, stab the sushi, and I'll just throw it in my mouth. Well, apparently, I'm doing the wrong thing there. Scott in Hartford, Connecticut. What's up, Scott?
Yeah, so apparently you didn't know that it's considered rude in many Asian cultures.
Well, what if rude, I use my hand?
And not only rude, but it's called disrespectful. It's they call it disrespectful and clumsy.
Well, I definitely don't want to disrespect anybody, so let me be clear on that. I don't. I don't know what to do, though. I don't want to use my hand. I feel like that would be even worse.
Ask for a fork or a bread. Yeah, if you're eating sushi, just use your hands.
Really?
With your hands.
You think me eating with my hands, though? I feel like that's kind of like, I don't know what the right word is.
No, not with sushi.
Unsavory.
Not with sushi. We do it with wings in our culture. We do it with a bunch of stuff.
But there's other food that we get when we get sushi, too, that require chopsticks. So I'm just...
Or you could ask, you'd always ask for a fork. I bet you they would be more happy giving you a fork than seeing you stab sushi.
Yeah, you're right. And no one's ever said anything to me, but you're right. I guess I never took that into account. Honestly, though, Scott, I'm being as honest as I can be. I feel embarrassed that I can't use it. I literally hide. Like, I'm not, like, being aggressive when I do it. I'm literally in the corner hoping nobody notices me because I look like a imbecile.
Don't get me wrong. It's not an easy thing. You got to practice.
It's very difficult to do, and I want to learn how to do it, but I get frustrated when I try, and I don't, like, walk in there like, hey, I'm not going to use this stuff. I'm going to break the stick.
Right.
I'm going to stab everything like I'm King Arthur. I'm not doing that. I'm just trying to quietly eat the food and hope that no one notices me.
They're around the corner peeking at you.
Yeah, like, I never thought of asking for the fork. No, I never thought about asking for the fork because I figured asking for a fork or using my hand would, in fact, be more disrespectful. That's what I always thought. Because to me, I'm still using the chopstick, but I am sort of calling out that I, not to throw her under the bus, but I'm going to. Because I remember going out for sushi with my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, and my wife. This was over a year ago. We were in Manhattan. We went to a sushi joint. And everyone, including my wife, they know how to use the chopsticks. And I don't. And I tried to give my wife sort of the Iggy of, hey, she should know this anyway, but I was trying to give her the Iggy, like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I don't know how to use chopsticks. I'm not saying feed me like you're a bird and I'm your child and you spit it in my mouth, but if you could do anything to help, even if it was get the sushi to my plate and then I can, like, very sort of, you know, covert, stick it into my mouth. I don't think covertly is a word, but I was trying to think of a word there that was kind of subtle. And I kind of do one of these things where I'm staring and I'm kind of looking over at her and I kind of, you know, hit her on the elbow. Well, she's in outer space. She doesn't notice. And it's 10 minutes have gone by. I haven't had any sushi and it's practically gone because I don't want to speak up and say I don't know how to use the chopsticks. Because it feels like when you're around people that knows how to use the chopsticks, they look at you like, how come you don't know how to use the chopsticks? So there you go. I'm either not going to go next time, or I'm going to ask for a fork, or I'm going to just grab it with my hands, which I thought was kind of rude and disrespectful to, because you're sharing sushi. It's like my grubby hands are all over the place. I'm not saying they skeeved me, but, like, still, I'm putting my hands all over everybody's food. You know, maybe I don't like that one. I lick it. I put it back. You know, the whole thing.
You're going to lick it?
Well, you want to taste it.
I had two callers call me and just cooperate the other guy saying, it's okay to eat sushi with your fingers. That is a standard in Japanese culture, apparently.
Okay.
So they are backing up that guy that you're...
Good to know. No, good to know, because I... But again, it was partially, I thought the hands were rude. I thought it was rude to the people I was with. And also, because my in-laws, they're LA people. You know what I mean? You know the LA people. So sushi, you know, they're very... So I didn't want to feel like, I live in Manhattan, I don't know how to use chopsticks. What kind of ridiculous situation is that? So it was also about not shining a light on it. That's why I'm trying to give my wife sort of the, hey, you know, can you put this stuff on my plate, please? So I don't look like an idiot.
What's your favorite sushi roll?
I have no idea. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. But what I do know, I have a trade proposal for the Giants. And it's going to sound crazy, but I just need you to bear with me. The Eagles have an A.J. Brown problem. I think the marriage between Hurts, Sirianni, and Brown is headed for a divorce. The Giants need another wide receiver to go across from Malik Nabers. The Giants have a couple of players on their team that could be on the move. So how about Kayvon Thibodeau for A.J. Brown? Who says no? The Giants get a premier wide receiver to surround Jackson Dart with, to go along with Malik Nabers. And the Eagles get a big-time pass rusher to add to their team. Both make out. The Eagles make out. The Giants make out. Everybody's happy. Who says no? Now, I know it's nuts. How could the Giants? They'll never trade with the Eagles. The Eagles will never trade with the Giants. Well, if you're confident, if Howie Roseman is confident in the Eagles and his team, and he knows he has an A.J. Brown problem, then he should be confident that he has a good enough squad to beat the Giants. Same thing with the Giants. If you're confident, if Harbaugh's confident in this team, and A.J. Brown fills a major hole on the team, which is you need another wide receiver to add to this team to go along with Nabers, who says no? And as crazy as it sounds, why can't the Giants and Eagles trade? Why can't the Giants and Cowboys make a trade? If it helps both teams, isn't that the whole point of making a trade? Is so both franchises are better after it? You don't want a one-sided trade. That's not why you trade. Like, both general managers are not sitting there going, all right, I hope they don't make out. Like, we just want to make out. No, you want both to work out. Kayvon Thibodeau for A.J. Brown. Think it over. Think it over. Don't just initially say it's stupid. Just mull it over. Let it marinate. Let it sink in. And you will realize, once you do, that it's genius. 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. It's After Hours. Positive Tommy here in prime time. We'll get back to your calls on the Mets, Steve Cohen, on the Yankees, of course, Aaron Judge. Will replay the audio for you coming up that he said yesterday at camp, at Yankee camp, because after thinking about it last night, there was something that was said by Aaron Judge that I thought was very glaring, and it kind of flew under the radar. So I want to sort of bring that up and connect the dot. We'll do that coming up after the break, so within the next 10 minutes. The phone number is 888-808-1019. And if you are, what was her name, Rachel in Indiana? You are a former model. You went to Studio 54. If you're out there, Rachel, we couldn't get to your call about a month ago. We just got you on the air for like a minute or two. You said you were a model. You said you went to Studio 54, and then we had to cut you off. That's a cliffhanger. Our audience needs to know more about the stories that went down inside the hallowed halls there at Studio 54. So if you're listening, please call. 888-808-1019. It's After Hours. Positive Tommy, Tommy Lugauer here in primetime.